a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with my friend Mark Walters of Armed American Radio here in just a second about some of the big stories popping up over the weekend, including something actually that popped up late last week. Dr. John Lott of the Crime Prevention Research Center documenting the FBI's revised crime stat showing that crime did not drop in 2022. Actually, it rose by about 4.5%. The FBI's revised numbers very quietly released, and most of the media failing to report this significant change. I mean, again, it'd be one thing if the FBI crime stat showed, okay, well, crime dropped by 2% instead of by 4%. Mm-mm. Instead, the FBI crime stat showed that instead of crime dropping, violent crime dropping by about 2.5% in 2022, it actually increased by about 4.5%. That's a significant change, right? When the revised statistics show a rise in crime, not a decline in crime, at the same time that, well, the Harris Walz campaign is out there touting their success in bringing down the crime rate, you'd think that would be a bigger news story. But outside of conservative media, this has largely been unreported. So let's start there in our conversation with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio, a wide-ranging discussion. Take a look and a listen. Mark, how you doing, sir? Thanks very much for coming on the program. Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you in mid-sip there.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. It just dawned on me when I was taking a sip. This is a Daniel Defense coffee mug. And they need to put the Daniel Defense on the outside for us right-handed people, because I'm the only one.
That's right.
Just on an early, an early observation today. How are you?
I am good. I appreciate that you coming to the program. You know, Mitch Albom had Tuesdays with Maury. I'm starting to think we need to do Mondays with Mark here on Cam and Company. Just have you as our regular Monday morning guest.
I'm at your disposal, brother. There's a lot to talk about, particularly on Mondays following my Sunday show leading into Cam and Company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. So you had Alan Gottlieb on the show last night, right?
Yeah, I had him on last night. I had him and Dr. John Lott on, and it kind of messed with my constitution a little because I had to flip their schedules. Alan usually joins me as the first guest. John had a previous engagement, so at the last minute, we flipped guests. But a very compelling conversation with both those men last night.
Yeah, let's talk about, and I do want to talk about both those conversations. Let's start with Dr. John Lott. This is interesting. For months now, Dr. Lott has been saying, hey, listen, there's something screwy going on with the crime stats, particularly the FBI crime stats, showing that crime is falling. The National Crime Victimization Survey said shows that crime is up. I've had him on my program talking about this before. And, you know, listen, crime stats are, it's sad, but it's almost an art more than a science, right? When you're looking at these statistics, they continually go back, they get revised. You've got issues with not every agency reporting these figures to the FBI. But the FBI very quietly revised the crime stats for 2023 just a couple of weeks ago. And instead of violent crime going down, these revisions, Mark, show that violent crime, according to the FBI, actually increased last year, right? By about, 4.5%?
4.5%. And there's a lot going on with that. I kind of want to get into the weeds a little bit about that, because had John's work not gone viral on this, you and I would be talking about it, but no one else would be. You'd be talking about Cam and Company. I'd be talking about it on Armed American Radio. A couple other pro-gun outlets might be talking about it. It would be written about within the echo chamber. But I was at the Daniel Defense banquet this past Thursday. I've emceed that event for the last 4 years, and I was helping out with the auction. I got back to the hotel room at about close to 11 o'clock. Flipped on the tube, tried to get some sleep, and somebody in there must have had Fox News on before I turned on the television, because it went right to Fox, and Gutfeld was just beginning. And the top story on Gutfeld was John's report on the FBI. So I immediately called John. I said, hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you just made Gutfeld. And he said, again? That's two nights in a row. And then if you were paying attention to this the next day, which was Friday, John's report showed up on The Five. It showed up, I believe, on Jesse Waters. It showed up on three or four Fox outlets. Trace Gallagher was talking about it. So it went out there. It got viral. It got picked up on media outlets around the country. And as John was telling me last night on air, no fewer than five dozen outlets ran his piece about this. Now, let's kind of get into this. you have two presidential campaigns. And by two campaigns, I'm talking about Biden and Harris, who have been running their campaign on crime dropping at 2.5 to 2.6%. That's what they've been running on. David Muir attacked Donald Trump during an ABC debate. Prior to that, Donald Trump was attacked on the CBS debate for those same numbers. You can't tell us crimes. He winds up getting into an argument with the debate moderators about this. And he told David Muir in no uncertain terms, those numbers are false, they're fraudulent, they're not being reported properly. David Muir, of course, fact-checked him. David Muir was wrong. John's numbers prove this. Now, why 2 weeks? Well, I guess when the report came out, Cam, it was about 3 weeks before. We're here. We are, what, just, you know, less than 2 weeks out from the general election. Why did the FBI release this prior to the election? First of all, it was not coincidence. They knew. They knew they had these numbers. They didn't put them out. Why did they put them out 2.5 weeks before the election? My theory on that is to give themselves plausible deniability. Hey, when we found out there was a mistake, we put it out. It's not election interference. Well, yeah, it is. And here's why. Because ABC News has been called on it. John has spoken to them or contacts within some of these news networks. He was telling my listeners last night, they're doing nothing about it. No major media outlet is reporting what John is reporting on this. So ABC and NBC, so we can all CBS, is continuing to keep these numbers depressed away from the general population before the election. The FBI is aware of that. This stinks of election interference. I'm actually using some of my show notes from last night as I was talking with John about this. But it begs a lot of questions. Why is the media, who doesn't have plausible deniability here, they have actual real deniability? David Muir could say, look, we were simply reporting what the FBI gave us. And we were. The FBI has changed their tune. Why aren't they doing that? These are very serious questions when we've got the most consequential election coming up. And when you go even farther down this rabbit hole, Cam, when you're talking about crime numbers, when you look at four individual breakdowns, what Americans think are the most important parts about this election, and Donald Trump is winning in each individual question on the polls. Who do you trust more on immigration? Donald Trump up 15, 20%. Who do you trust more on inflation and economy? Donald Trump up 20%, 17, 18%. Who do you trust more to control crime? Donald Trump up in double digits. Yeah. So if you go down all of these polls, this begs a lot of questions here. And I, for one, am asking the questions.
Absolutely. You know, because listen, as Dr. Lott noted, the FBI did not publicize these changes. And I said, by the way, this was the 2023 crime rates. It was actually the 2022 crime rates that were revised from a decrease to an increase. But you know, Mark, you're absolutely right about this. I mean, as you're talking, I'm going through some of the headlines. I just did a quick search for FBI crime statistics revised. And here are the outlets that are reporting this, right? National Review, Fox News, New York Post, Kansas City Star, but that was an opinion piece, by the way, not an actual news story, right? Washington Times, Real Clear Investigations, the BBC had a report just 3 days ago, what the FBI's latest crime stat shows about violent crime. And they're talking about the latest stat showing that there was a decrease in crime last year. Buried about halfway down that story, they know that the FBI revised its 2022 crime stats to show an increase of 4.5% in 2022. But as you say, where's the Washington Post? Where's the New York Times? Where's NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC? All of those outlets have essentially ignored this story because it, and I'm going to go ahead and give the, I think the reason for this, as you say, because it would hurt Kamala Harris's chances of winning the election, right? So let's not inform the American people. And that's a pretty big deal, right? When the FBI says, yeah, crime dropped. Oh, actually it rose. That I think is newsworthy. So why are all of these journalists not talking about it? I think the answer is pretty obvious, because they don't want to do anything to hurt Kamala's chances, right? Yeah. Now, one of the other things that's going to be critically important this election year, of course, is voter turnout. I mean, you've got Real Clear Politics average shows Donald Trump leading in every one of the swing states right now. But I think his biggest lead in the Real Clear Politics average in these swing states is a single percentage point. So all of these states break for Donald Trump. Trump wins election. If it's a mixed bag, Trump still has a path to victory. But if Kamala Harris pulls out the upset in these swing states, then she's going to be in the White House for 4 years. She's going to be the one nominating justices to the Supreme Court. And this is something that Alan Gottlieb talked about last night. When we think about gun owners and the gun vote as being a pretty reliable vote, right? But Gottlieb says there are millions of gun owners whose votes may not be counted this year.
10, to be exact. That's the number we talked about on Armed American Radio last night with Alan. And let me reiterate that you're spot on your assessment with that, with the swing states, et cetera. I have to go back to that. Why aren't they reporting it when, in fact, they have actual deniability? Because they were actually using the FBI report that showed those fake numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Why not admit? You can still, ABC can still artfully do that and say, just by getting it out there and stopping the conversation, they can move on to something else, that the numbers have been changed. So there's no question that that telegraphs to me and to you and to our viewers and listeners around the country that they're all in this in cahoots. We know there's collusion going on with the networks. It's a pretty far stretch to say the networks are not working on behalf of the Democrats. We know that to be the case. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that, go back and review the tapes of Kamala Harris ascending from the worst ever to God's gift to the Democrat Party literally overnight by the networks. And if you're an honest person, you see that clearly. Well, let's go back to these 10 million gun owners. Now, that's, by the way, called a lie of omission, as you well know. Just omit it. We don't even talk about it. That in itself is a lie. And Cam, in my estimation, that's criminal activity. These people should be held criminally accountable because people are making decisions on these things, not just election decisions. But when it comes to mainstream media, people are making investment decisions. They're making decisions on where to move, how to live, what to buy. And in this case, we're talking about who to vote for. And this is criminal in my estimation, but that's a whole different conversation. Let's go to the 10 million. Gottlieb has found, according to him at SAF, 10 million gun owners across the country unregistered. And you ask yourself, how in God's green earth can that happen before the most consequential election of our lifetimes? How can gun owners, who, as you rightfully point out, are usually pretty engaged? There's a couple theories here. And I did ask Alan about this last night, some of my other guests, and I'll ask you. You know, look, when you're talking about blue state voters here, let's face it, depression has set in. If you're a gun owner and you live in New York, if you're a gun owner and you live in California, do you really feel like your vote is going to matter anyway when it's already a foregone conclusion that the state is not going to go anything other than blue? So I have a feeling that that, you know, some of these 10 million may very well be behind these blue walls that are just simply maybe, you know, Jersey might be in play. We don't know. Of Jersey, California, New York, Jersey's probably the closest in play. But even still, 6-7 points. If you're a blue state gun owner, you're not, why bother if you're voting your guns? Not going to make a difference to me. So I have a feeling that those numbers might be skewed to some of those blue states. So why is it important that they get out and vote? Because that's how you facilitate change in future elections. You've got to get your voice out there. Make yourself heard. Imagine if 2 million additional gun owners voted in the state of California and did that election cycle after election cycle. There literally might be some hope to eventually turn that battleship around. Maybe even in our generation, which is a stretch, but it could happen. It's not ever if they don't vote, Cam.
I'll give you another example of this. Massachusetts, what we're seeing right now, right? Massachusetts passes, Chapter 135. Gun Owners Action League, Jim Wallace calls it the Devil's Snare, the Lawful Citizens Imprisonment Act. And gun owners not only file a court challenge, but they say, all right, we're going to put this on the ballot in 2026. We're going to have a referendum. We're going to try to repeal this, right? They needed to collect 37,000 signatures of registered voters to put this on the ballot. They need, I think, something like 47,000 to block the law from being enforced. Governor Maura Healey signs this emergency preamble saying, no. Well, you can't block the law. But I think the Civil Rights Coalition, I think Toby Leary said they're on pace for almost 100,000 signatures. So they will have doubled what was necessary to, you know, put this law or put this law before the voters to, if Maura Healey had not signed that emergency preamble, to suspend the law. And again, where are those signatures coming from? Probably not every one of them a gun owner, but you have to be a registered voter in order for your signature to count. And you know, those gun owners in Massachusetts have done an incredible job of putting this on the ballot. Now, if those gun owners had said, hey, you know what? I live in Massachusetts. I'm hosed no matter what. I'm not even going to bother. I'm opting out. Right. Then they wouldn't be able to get this on the ballot in 2026. They would have been stymied. So there is an example, I think, right now of what happens when you stay engaged. Now, listen, those Massachusetts gun owners, I think, still very much face an uphill fight in an anti-gun state when it comes to, you know, overturning this via vote of the people. But they've taken that crucial first step, right? And that wouldn't have been possible if those gun owners had just decided, hey, you know what, the system is stacked against us, so why bother even getting involved?
Well, let's go a step further. Let's look at the courts now. Let's take a look. Massachusetts is a great example. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, there's a court battle going on right now. New Hampshire residents that might live in New Hampshire across the border north of Massachusetts come into Boston to work, can't carry their guns in Massachusetts. That's being fought in courts right now because of those gun owners that you just mentioned. So we're closer, we're one step closer. We get closer through the courts. Imagine another Donald Trump presidency, how that's going to reshape the courts at the federal level across all 50 states in every circuit court in this country. The change here is immense. There is a likely possibility that over time we can fix these problems in states like Massachusetts in the courts. Now you got Healey's going to rush it through and racetrack it through. Because why? Because she sees what's coming. She smells it. Oh, no, I don't want to wait around for this. Let's go ahead and put this effective today. I'm going to sign it right now, make it effective right now today. These people are, they're intellectual thieves is what they are. But there's a reason for that. It's kind of looking at the Harris campaign. Why is the Harris campaign doing what it's doing right now in certain states? Because their internal polling sucks. That's why. And they know it because of the numbers that you just read in the swing states across this country. That's why they're doing what they're doing. So it matters. It matters if you're a gun owner watching us in California. You have got to vote. If you're in New York, you have got to make your voice heard. It's how we eventually put down people like Hochul and people like Newsom. And it's how you regain a footing and get your gun rights back. But I can promise you this, kind of like buying a lottery ticket. That's a one in 396 million chance. Yeah, it is. It's true. You're probably not going to win it. But I can guarantee you this. If you don't play, you're definitely not going to win it. So absolutely. It's the same got to get in there and keep your fight in. You've got to keep in this fight. It's scary stuff that we're facing in this country right now. And really, you know, I get disheartened. I saw the column from Newt Gingrich today about how if our country will cease to exist if Kamala Harris wins the election. You know, I get disheartened when I see stuff like that, particularly coming from a guy like Newt Gingrich. Really, Newt? You don't think there's American patriots out there that will fight to see to it that this country doesn't cease to exist? Here's my recommendation to you, Newt. Reread the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and I'll leave it at that. People can take from that whatever they want, but Americans will fight. We're not going to let this country cease to exist. I believe our viewers and our listeners are very well aware of that. I think we're all cut of the same cloth. So, but even coming from people like Newt Gingrich, who formed the Contract of America back in 1994, if you remember that. You know, guys, stop listening to this stuff. Understand that your vote matters. And gosh darn it, I'm being as nice as I possibly can here with my language. Get yourselves out there. Vote. Make a difference in this election. You've got Pelosi out there. Cam, you and I talked before we went on. You know, Pelosi made some chilling comments. How she has wants to see to it. She's done everything in her, everything she can do to make sure that Donald Trump never steps foot anywhere near the White House again in any capacity, not just as president, but any capacity. So my question is, who do you think you are to make that decision? How powerful is Nancy Pelosi? She derailed a sitting president's campaign for president almost single-handedly.
Yep.
Guys, this matters. This matters. All right. You got to be paying attention to this stuff.
Absolutely, you do. You know, I want to ask you before we let you go, Mark, because we are 2 weeks out from Election Day. And, you know, it's fascinating to me. Democrats are now, I think, officially running away from gun control as an issue. If you listen to Tim Walz on the campaign trail lately, he's not talking about his support for a ban on so-called assault weapons. Right. If he brings up guns, it's generally I support the Second Amendment. I'm a big hunter. We can protect the Second Amendment and we can protect kids in classrooms. So he might bring up, if he brings up any policy, it might be background checks. Right. Kamala Harris is out there talking about, oh, I own a Glock. If you come in my house, you know, someone's going to get shot. She's not talking about her support for a ban on so-called assault weapons. You're seeing Democrats like Bob Casey in Pennsylvania cut campaign ads where they're standing next to Trump, where they're showing, you know, hey, listen, I can work with Trump. They're not bringing up a gun ban. They're not bringing up, you know, nuking the filibuster in order to enact these types of gun control laws. If these policies were as popular as the gun lobby or gun control lobby tells us they are, then why is it that 99% of Democrats who are supportive of these gun control policies don't want to talk about them here as we get towards crunch time of these campaigns?
Well, most of them are probably gun owners too. There's a lot of hypocrisy in that party. Boy, a whole bunch of meat. Do we have another hour? First of all, Tim Walz, if you're watching, learn how to load your shotgun shells the right way. I kind of believe he was trying to insert those shotgun shells backwards. That's why they're hard to get in, Tim. That's just a theory that AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News and I were laughing about. But yeah, I'm with you on that. The hypocrisy and the lies about this. And isn't it fascinating? 2 weeks out from the election, they begin walking away from gun control as they've been pushing it as a major issue all the way up to the election. I can't get in their heads. We can only look at it. We have to be honest, try to get objectionable, look out, you know, get objective, look at it from the big picture, step out of the bubble and say, well, I think she's lying to me. I think he's lying to me. And it becomes very clear and very evident what's going on. They're not fooling any of us. And I'll be honest with you, Cam, how many people out there really haven't made up their minds at this stage of the game? Okay.
I mean, I guess there are some out there, right? And I don't know. And in some cases, it may be, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, or I don't know if I'm going to vote, right? I mean, that gets back to those unregistered voters. I think this is going to be an election for a lot of Americans where it's, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for the one I dislike the least. I think Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are both pretty unpopular. I think they're both underwater in terms of favorability ratings. So, you know, that might be the choice that some Americans are making. Do I vote at all? Or do I vote for, you know, the lesser of two evils here? And in that case, you know, it may be an election day decision. But, you know, getting back to those gun owners and getting back to those gun voters, I think you're right. I don't think that many gun owners are deceived, even with hunters and anglers for Harris Walz that debuted last week. Right. I went to the website for that, Mark. Yeah, you know, and you've been around long enough. You remember American Hunters and Shooters Association, right? Ray Shonky, the all of these AstroTurf gun groups that come out around election time. Oh, I'm a sportsman for the gun control candidate. They couldn't even get a single face to put with this new coalition for Harris Walz. You go to the website, there's nothing about who they are. There's nothing about, you know, who's on their board. It's basically just a data mining operation, right? You can sign your name and provide all your contact information to this open letter that doesn't even mention the Second Amendment. I mean, they're doing this so terribly that I'm with you. I don't think that many gun owners are deceived, but I also don't want them to get complacent just because the campaigns aren't talking much about the Second Amendment. Kamala Harris isn't talking about, hell yes, we're going to take your guns, or I'm all in favor of a mandatory buyback of so-called assault weapons. That disappearing rhetoric will make a reappearance if the Democrats are in a position to do something with our right to keep and bear arms after the election.
I think you're spot on. It's some of what you're talking about is so laughable. But, you know, we hear it's a 48-48 race right now. I'm not buying that right now. Let's take Pennsylvania, for example. I was talking to Justin Moon, CEO of Car Arms, last night on the show. I was just up in PA and was talking to people all over the place, even in North Jersey, as I was driving from Newark International Airport up into the Poconos to get into Pennsylvania. It's Trump is everywhere. Now, that's Northern Jersey. You see a lot of that up there in those areas. I've noticed that as I've been going up there over the years during election cycles. You see a lot of Republican support. But still, it's heartwarming to see that in a place like New Jersey, of all places. Trump flags, banners in front of businesses and lawns all across the place as you get across the fruited plain there, as Rush Limbaugh would say. You get up into Pennsylvania and you talk to these folks. You don't see a Harris Walz sign. I didn't see any Biden signs where I live either, because I live in a deeply red area. And I don't want to base the election on how many signs I don't see of the opposing candidate, because Donald Trump is not in the White House right now. And I got to kind of look at this optimistic. I'm an eternal optimist here. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we had to have this 4 years of heck, let me put it nicely, in order to realize what we need to do to fix this problem. And we need some divine intervention here. Hate to make predictions. I'll give you an opinion. I think I made a prediction when we were on together last week, but I believe Trump is going to landslide this. I believe that in my heart and soul, when you look at individual polls across the board, in every single major issue that Americans are concerned about. And then you want to throw one in there that really matters. About 74% of Americans believe the country's on the wrong track. So we trust Trump on immigration. We trust Trump on crime. We trust Trump on inflation. We trust Trump because the country is on the wrong track, while the option to the wrong track is Donald Trump. Well, those four things. Yeah, I'm with Trump. I'm going to pull a lever for Harris. It doesn't make sense to me. And I did this last time I was on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the fence, pick this out. Go grocery shopping on your way to the polls. Just don't buy anything cold unless you live in a cold climate that you got to keep there. Okay. Don't buy anything perishable, but go grocery shopping. And I believe Americans are going to vote this. I have faith in America that we don't want four more years of this. And God help us, the consequences of what could happen. I won't even go down that hole right now, but we cannot let it happen. Trump has got to pull this out. But I'm feeling strong about PA, and I believe who wins PA wins the election. Could be wrong about a little bit, but it's a pretty good opinion and a pretty good guess, I think, from everything I've seen.
Well, I tell you what, we only have a couple of weeks left to hopefully this isn't one of those things that, 2 months go by and there are lawsuits and all kinds of questions about who actually won. I'd like to see a convincing victory for conservatives and pro-gun forces on election night. But we'll be talking again between now and then. Mr. Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. As always, man, I really appreciate it. Let folks know where they can catch the Daily Dose, the Daily Defense, as well as the Sunday Night Monster Cast.
ArmedAmericanRadio.com for everything you need to know. And I want to point this out. I'm getting ready to launch a podcast, Mark Walters Unhinged and Unholstered. Separate, completely new show. You're going to love it. Free from the FCC. Stay tuned to the webpage. I'll keep you abreast of that on all my shows. ArmedAmericanRadio.com. I love you, Cam. Thanks for everything you do, brother.
Hey, man. Right back at you, Mark. We'll talk again soon. Mark Walters joining us here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. And thanks to Mark for joining us on the program. Looking forward to having him back again, maybe even next Monday. You never know. Mondays with Mark. I do like the sound of that. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a story out of Alabama. You may remember this mass shooting in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. Mayor Randall Woodfin at the White House talking about this and talking about the need for more common sense gun safety measures. Well, as it turns out, one of the suspects in this mass shooting, already known to law enforcement, in fact, arguably should have been behind bars at the time of this shooting. Damien McDaniel was in court last Thursday as a suspect in the Five Points South mass shooting. But as WVTM reports, it wasn't his first time in the courtroom. Back in 2019, 5 years ago, when McDaniel was 17 years old, he was arrested on two counts of attempted murder. Last year, he pled guilty to both counts and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. According to court records, however, McDaniel received a split sentence. He was told he had to serve 2 years jail time, and the other 13 years of his 15-year sentence were suspended. And to make matters worse, McDaniel was given credit for time served, which meant that he was essentially cut loose on 3 years probation. So, originally charged with two counts of attempted murder, pled guilty to two counts of attempted murder, and essentially walked away with time served. Now, if that 15-year sentence had been imposed, McDaniel would have been incarcerated. He would not have been on the streets of Birmingham, where he allegedly not only took part in that mass shooting, but according to police, took part in two additional homicides. So the Thursday, September 19th was the time when that mass shooting took place. They also believe that McDaniel was responsible for a shooting on September 21st and then on September 22nd as well. Now McDaniel charged with capital murder, three counts of attempted murder. He also faces charges of unlawful possession of a firearm and unlawful possession of marijuana, both of which were found in McDaniel's possession when he was arrested. So, well, again, the Birmingham mayor says, oh, we got to do something about constitutional carry. We got to do something to, tighten up Alabama's gun laws. In truth, what you need to do is ensure that a 15-year sentence means that the suspect actually does 15 years behind bars, or at the very least, doesn't walk away with the time served after the fact. All right, today's Armed Citizen story from Georgia, where police say a thief who broke into a South Fulton home was chased and shot at by the homeowner. This was Friday afternoon, about 4 p.m. Police in South Fulton, Georgia, were called out to a home on Brookwood View on Friday afternoon for calls that a report had been broken into, as well as another call for someone who had been shot. According to WSB Radio in Atlanta, investigators say the homeowner was home when several people broke into his house and then started stealing things. Now, after the thieves left, the homeowner got into his car and chased after them, which is dicey. Both from a public safety standpoint, or rather an individual safety standpoint, and again, depending on your actions, from a legal standpoint as well. Now, in this case, Police say the chase ended in a crash. And as the homeowner and the thieves got out of their cars, police say that they started shooting at each other. One of the thieves was hit by a bullet. They haven't said who shot first, but that likely will make a difference in terms of who might be charged here. Investigators say the thief who was shot ran to a home that was under construction where they asked two construction workers if they could wash their hands. The thief later found by officers hiding inside a closet of the home that was under construction. No arrests have been made, according to WSB, but police say they're working to locate the remaining suspects. We'll look and see if there are any follow-ups here. But if the homeowner was not the initial aggressor, and again, once that burglary had ended, this is now, according to the eyes of the law, a separate incident, right? The threat is over. The thieves have left. The homeowner then decides to chase after the thieves, maybe to give law enforcement details on the car, on the license plate, on the who these suspects actually are. But again, the burglary is over at that point, right? So the homeowner is not acting in self-defense when he chases after the thieves. If, however, after that crash, the thieves responded with gunfire, then the homeowner would have been acting in self-defense when he fired back. So kind of a confusing situation, but again, no arrests made immediately. We'll keep our eyes open for any more details as they become available. Finally, today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, will enable to do the right thing. A bus driver and a transit officer in Philadelphia who helped a little girl get home safely after she got lost there on the bus system. I can't imagine. And I can only imagine, actually, that this happens more frequently than we might anticipate. Nala Hoskins, she's 10 years old. She got lost trying to get home after school last week. She said, I forgot some of the ways to get home, so I got lost, and I was trying to get on bus 47, but I got on the wrong bus. So she ended up at the Frankfort Transportation Center, which is a SEPTA hub, Southeastern Pennsylvania Transit Authority. She was all by herself. She said, I was asking people, do you know any buses I can get on to take to 8th and Diamond? She's about 8 miles from her home at that point. Parents, meanwhile, are waiting for her to get off the bus. They didn't see her get off the bus, and so they kind of panicked. Maurice Hoskins, Nala's dad, said it was like the scariest situation I've ever been through. As a father, it's like, I'm helpless. So they called police, said that their daughter had never made it home. Maurice said, I don't know where my daughter is. You know, she's in Philadelphia, so I'm like, anything could have happened. Now it's starting to get dark. She said she was a bit scared, but a SEPTA bus driver saw Nala on the bus. William Giuliano with SEPTA Transit Police said that driver then contacted a transit police officer, Officer Giuliana, who said made contact with her. She was extremely brave and confident. And Nala did not know her parents' phone number, which is probably not uncommon in this day and age of smartphones, but she did know her address. So the transit officer drove her home. Her parents had already filed a missing persons report at that point. They were waiting along with Philadelphia police for any word about Nala. It was about 8:30 in the evening, about 4 hours after she normally gets home, when Nala made it back to her parents. She said she was crying, hugging her mom. Her dad said, I'm not an emotional guy, but the first thing I did was grab my daughter, make sure she was cool. Officer Giuliana told 6 Action News in Philadelphia that watching the family hold each other made him smile. Seeing everyone work together made his day. He said the police are always here to help and make you feel safe, so don't ever hesitate to approach. Well, again, what I'm sure was a incredibly scary situation for a 10-year-old girl ended up with smiles all around, thanks in large part, again, to the thoughtful actions of the bus driver and the transit officer, who didn't let the little girl's cries go unheeded. So there you go. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program today. I want to wish my lovely bride, Miss E, a happy birthday as well. Not that she watches the show. She's actually, I think she's not allowed, thanks to her work website, but whatever. I'm going to tell her in person, too. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. In the meantime, don't forget to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation as we head into the closing weeks of the election campaign. It is getting dicey out there, neck and neck, close races all around, from the top of the ticket to some of these key battleground Senate races that could determine whether or not Democrats have the numbers necessary to nuke the filibuster, pass a gun ban with 51 votes, or whether or not Republicans will have an opportunity to defend the Second Amendment and even shore up support for the Second Amendment on the Supreme Court, maybe over the next 4 years, by confirming solid judicial picks. We'll be talking more about that as the week goes on as well. We'll see you back here tomorrow. But until then, be well, be safe, and be free.